Nyayam gopi janava lava girivaradhari. Yasoda nandanam raja janaranjana. Ramuna tira manachari. Jaya radha madhava kunja vihari. Namadhava. Jai Om Vishnu Pa Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Shuttara Shuttashi Shri Marizavan Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Raja Granta Shima Bhagavatam Ki Samvita Bhakta Brinda Ki Nitai Go Primanandi All glories to this Manavadis All glories to this Manavadis All glories to Shishi Grangoranga O namo bhagavate vasudevaya. O namo bhagavate vasudevaya. O namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Varam vrinimahe tapi natatvat parata parat nayantas tvarvibhuti nam sunanta itigi yase varam vrinimahe tapi Nata tvat parata parat Nayantas tvad vibhuti nam Sananta itigi yase others. Varam benediction, vrini mahe, we shall pray for, ata api, therefore, natha, O Lord, twat, from you, parata parat, beyond the transcendence, na,
not he certainly anta and twat your vibhuti nam of opulences saha you ananta unlimited iti thus giyase are celebrated. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Dear Lord, we shall therefore pray for your benediction because you are the supreme, beyond all transcendence, and because there is no end to your opulences. Consequently, you are celebrated by the name Ananta. Purport, there was no need for the Prachetas to ask any benedictions from the Supreme Lord because the devotees are simply satisfied by the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj practiced severe austerities and penances to see the Supreme Lord, and his intention was to receive benediction from the Lord. He wanted to acquire the throne of his father or attain an even better position, but when he was actually in the presence of the Supreme Lord, he forgot everything. He said, "My dear Lord, I do not wish to ask any benediction." This is the actual position of the devotee. The devotee simply wants to be in the presence of the Supreme Lord, either in this world or in the next, and engage in his service. That is the ultimate goal in benediction for the devotees. The Lord asked the Prachetas to pray for some benediction, and they said, "What kind of benediction should we pray for? The Lord is unlimited, and there are unlimited benedictions." The purport is that if one must ask for benediction, he must ask for unlimited benediction. The words Twat Parata are very significant in this verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Parata Parat. The word para means transcendental, beyond this material world. The impersonal Brahman effulgence is beyond this material world, and this is called param padam. Aruhya kritchena param padam. Merging into the impersonal effulgence of the Lord is called param padam. But there is a higher transcendental position, which is the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabjate. The absolute truth is realized first as impersonal Brahman, then as Paramatma, and finally as Bhagavan. Thus, the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, is parata parat, beyond Brahman and Paramatma realization. In this connection, Srila Jiva Goswami points out that the parata parat means better than the best. The best is the spiritual world and is known as Brahman. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is known as Parabrahman. Therefore, Parata Parat means better than Brahman realization. As will be explained in the next verses, the Prachetas plan to ask the Lord for something that has no limit. The Lord's pastimes, qualities, forms, and names are all unlimited. There is no limit to his name, forms, pastimes, creation, and paraphernalia. The living entity cannot conceive of the unlimitedness of the unlimited. However, if living entities are engaged in hearing about the unlimited potencies of the Supreme Lord, they are factually connected directly to the unlimited. Such understanding of the unlimited becomes unlimited by hearing and chanting. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyant Mirandasya Viranjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Litam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Swapadantikam Vanchakal Puturubhyascha Kripa Sundubhiri Vacha Patitanam Bhamanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadar Har Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So the Prachetas have already offered prayers, and now they're asking for benedictions. That is natural to approach the Lord to ask for some benediction, even if you are a pure devotee. So now they're asking for their benedictions. In the previous verse, they asked for the benediction that the Lord will be satisfied with them, but now they're going to ask for something more. And there's a reason for that, and that's what's being described here. Why they're going to ask for something more, a very special benediction. There's a reason for that, and that's being hinted at here in today's verse. The first significant point that we'll mention that Srila Prabhupada focuses on is that Krishna's called as Parata Parat. He's the beyond all transcendence. That is what's being mentioned here. Parata Parat means he's beyond all transcendence. So for those who are knowers of the transcendence, Tattva Vida, we hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's quoting that verse also. For those who are Tattva Vida, knowers of the transcendence, then they know the transcendence has three features: Brahman feature, Paramatma feature, and Bhagavan feature. And here it's being mentioned that Krishna is beyond the transcendence. That means, that has many meanings, but as Srila Prabhupada focuses on here, it means that Krishna is beyond Brahman realization and Paramatma realization. This is the first understanding that Krishna, of course they're speaking to Vishnu, is beyond the transcendence. He is beyond Brahman feature and beyond Paramatma understanding. And the evidence for that is two things primarily, is that to obtain knowledge of the Bhagavan feature of Krishna, Vishnu, one requires Krishna's mercy. So this is, whereas in other forms of transcendence, then on the merit of one's own strength, they may attain some transcendental understanding. By following the process of Gyan, you can attain realization of Brahman feature. By following the process of Yoga, you can attain realization of the Paramatma feature. But even if you follow Gyan and Yoga, those sadhanas, for thousands of years, this shloka mentioned in Nectar Devotion, for thousands of years, you cannot obtain information of Bhagavan unless Bhagavan gives his mercy. Therefore, he's beyond all levels of transcendence. That is initial meaning that's being presented here. Even if you shall follow some other sadhanas for thousands of lifetimes, without Krishna's mercy, you cannot obtain information of Krishna. No one's intelligence, powerful speaking capabilities, or adherence to any type of sadhana will be able to merit the mercy of the Lord. They will not be able to merit attaining the Lord, nor is it be able to merit the mercy of the Lord also. Many verses are like there like that. Atapite deva padam buja dvaya. Prabhupada calls this one a lot. Prashad lesha anugranita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahemno nachanya eko bichunam vichinvan. That unless one has prashad lesha, lesha means like a trace. Even with a trace of Krishna's mercy, then one can understand the glory of Krishna. Janati tatvam bhagavan mahemno. Even with a trace of Krishna's mercy. But even with so much of nachanya eko bichunam vichinvan, even if one shall study the Vedas for many lifetimes and adhere to the sadhanas that those Vedic literatures prescribe, one cannot obtain understanding of the glory of Krishna if they are devoid of even a trace of mercy. Just like when Gopinathacharya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya were talking with one another about the preeminence of Lord Chaitanya's divinity. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told, I'm not no fool. I'm Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. I'm a great scholar. No one is, I educate many sannyasis also, even though I'm a grihastha. I educate many, so you can't just go around sentimentally saying anyone's God. I'm not a villager. You know, that's his intention, is to say like that. Because with simple village people, you might be able to say, this one is God, that one is God, and they may say, oh, okay, start worshiping. You see people, many people are worshiping Sai Baba. Why are they worshiping Sai Baba? Because they're foolish, like villagers. This foolish, very innocent, it's Sai Baba's God, even though he's so ugly. They just say, okay, he must be. One of Krishna's primary feature is he's supremely beautiful. But even though he's very ugly, still people are, you know, someone is told he is God, they're worshiping. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I am not a villager. I know so many shastras. So he started quoting so many shastras. And Gopinathacharya, he also started quoting so many shastras. And it was like a, how do you say? Duel, boxing match. You know, like Las Vegas, they have these famous boxing matches. They're like boxing match. You can see how advanced the culture was. I was hearing this point from Radhanath Maharaj. He was saying that in an advanced culture, they used to derive satisfaction by going to debates. Now our culture derives satisfaction by seeing someone get bludgeoned to death, you know. Anyway, so this is just a side point. So then, after so much dueling, Gopinathacharya quoted this verse, Atapite deva padamudradvaya prashada lesha nivinitevi. Because you are devoid of a trace of mercy of the Lord, you cannot understand Lord Chaitanya's glory. But when you shall get that mercy, then you'll be able to understand. And the reason for that is because parata parat, because Krishna's beyond the transcendence. So even if you're on the transcendental platform, initial stages of transcendence, Brahman or Paramatma realization, you cannot understand Krishna without his mercy. That's the other reason. And this is one reason why Krishna is parata parat. And the other reason is that when attaining Krishna, the experience of actual Krishna consciousness, it is beyond the other forms of transcendence, because in the other forms of transcendence, there is chance for fall down because of being an incomplete realization of the transcendence. So Prabhupada also quotes that verse here, Aruya Krichena Param Padam Pata. Yeah, Aruya Krichena Param Padam Tata Patantyada Anadrita Yushmanangraya. It mentions that if one is Anandrita Yushmanangraya, means if one is devoid of a relationship with that aspect of the transcendence, Krishna, Bhagavan, then even if he's on other stages of transcendence, he'll fall down. There is chance for fall down. So one has to attain that form of transcendence, parata parat. Krishna's beyond the transcendence. So one who attains, what is the indication that one has attained that level of transcendence? Then that is mentioned in the beginning of Prabhupada's purport, that if one has truly attained Krishna consciousness, then he is satisfied with the presence of the Lord only. This is an indication. He is satisfied with the presence of the Lord. How do I know if I'm Krishna conscious? This question sometimes comes up. How do I know if I'm making advancement? This is a test. Am I satisfied with the presence of the Lord? That's how one can understand how Krishna conscious he is. There's many verses, Vishaya Vinivartante, Niraha Rasya Dehinaha, Raso Varjan Raso Piyasta Param Drustva Navartate. When one attains Krishna, he attains with a higher taste. This is the main thing. So therefore, there is no attraction to the material energy. Vishaya Vinivartante Niraha Rasya Dehina means someone may restrict their senses from chasing after the material world. Just like we are sadhakas, we are restricting our senses in many ways from chasing after the material energy, at least on the gross level. But the mind still is going there. Niraha Rasya Dehina, this verse is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. He is thinking like that. Like, for example, if beautiful woman walks in the room, then the brahmacharya, don't look, don't look, don't look, don't look, don't look, don't look. or he's saying, don't look, but the mind is like this. Body is not looking, but the mind is, oh, very nice. Maybe I should get married. You know, I was having doubts about brahmacharya ashram after all. And then mind is looking. That is going on in the stage of material stage or the stage of prakriti bhakta when we're on the material platform. So we may restrict our senses, but the mind is running there. Sometimes it is a kadashi or a fast day, so we don't go down to the kitchen. But the mind is going there. What are you doing, Prabhu? It's not proper. You're not so advanced devotee. See, when you're chanting japa, when you're speaking to devotees, you're a ma bhagavata. But then when it's like hard austerities have to be performed like fast, you say, you're not so advanced. You stop faking. You just be natural. Don't be fanatic, you know. Go downstairs. Because the mind is very much pulling us towards the material energy. But when one attains Krishna, then he is satisfied with the presence of the Lord. He has no attraction to the material energy. This is a test. How much we are attracted to the material energy, particularly epitomized in the attraction for sexual enjoyment. How, to what degree we are getting free from that, to that degree we can understand how Krishna conscious we are becoming. There are many verses like that in the Bhagavatam also. Bhakti pare shadam bhavo virakte anyatra chaisha trika eka kalaha. Three things happen when one is actually becoming Krishna conscious. And the one that Prabhupada always focuses on is he becomes virakti. He becomes detached from his attraction to the material energy. So the reason for that, of course, there's a reason for that. When one is satisfied with the presence of the Lord, it is not a static understanding. That's what is dynamic. It is not static, it's dynamic. Dynamic means anandam buddhivardhanam. It is ever-increasing bliss, nava-nava rasa, because they're getting newer and newer tastes from their relationship with Krishna. Therefore, they're not getting attracted to the material energy. Without experiencing newer and newer tastes in Krishna consciousness, anandam buddhivardhanam, without experiencing that ever-expanding ocean of happiness in relationship to Krishna, then the presence of Krishna becomes static. Just like we may be just like husband and wife. In the beginning, it was love, very deep love. They would write nice poetry to one another. Your eyes look like the blazing sun, and some nonsense. You know, I don't want to say also. You may write so many nice things, and then after 2 to 3 weeks of marriage, maybe 1 month of marriage, then those same eyes look like asteroids. Your eyes, which were so beautiful to me, have now turned pale and gray. Not due to vipralamba bhava, but due to disgust. This is going on in the material world. Very quickly, the material attraction decays, and one loses attraction for it. So unless one is, and then one wants something new. One wants something new. So this causes the Brahmanda Brahmite program, the traveling all over the universe. Why are they living to traveling all over the universe? Because he's looking for a newer and newer experience, right? Newer and newer experience. Why do, someone was telling, when people come to our clubs, they're just looking for a new experience. It's not like they're so much attracted per se, but they just want a new experience, something new. Okay, let me try chanting, let me try this. I just need a newer and newer experience. So the living entity travels all over the universe in search of a newer and newer experience. So if he's not experiencing newer and newer experience in relationship with Krishna, if his Krishna consciousness is not growing, then he experiences relationship with Krishna to be also static. And as a result, he wants a more dynamic situation. He returns to the material energy in order to find that dynamic situation. It is the same problem that the Brahmavadis will be having if they merge into the Supreme Lord. When merging into Brahman, they don't experience newer and newer taste. It is the same thing. On and 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 on. There's nothing new experience. So what happens? Because of lack of information of Padata Parad, of a higher level of transcendence, where it is ever-expanding happiness, then they return to the material energy in order to experience a more dynamic situation. So the same thing happens to devotees who are not yet to achieve a mature stage in devotional service. If they don't experience greater and greater development, and as a result of greater development, greater happiness in Krishna consciousness, then they experienced everything in Krishna consciousness to be static. That same prasadam, which was so amazing when we first came, right? Oh, my tongue is having a festival. Huh? Then it's like, oh, they didn't put enough salt in the dog. What is this? Not enough salt. That's this subject, this same subject all the time. They don't even know how to do the variety. Same thing that would have been totally before, especially many of us, before coming to Krishna consciousness, where was our dinner? You know, a big thing of like steak with barbecue sauce, you know, and that was like ecstatic, you know, and maybe some french fries on the side. This is how, cultured we are. So when we came to take prasadam, it was really an amazing thing. Then we're going on taking prasadam daily taking. And we have so much commentary to offer about the prasadam, so many comments to offer. We experience it as static. Same thing which was so wonderful, we experienced as static. Chanting in the beginning was very nice. Our mind was, and even chanting was very nice. When we first started, chanting was also, it was like cool, right? It was like cool, like again, a new experience. We were totally speculating, and we will get some experience. And we're like, wow, I felt like my soul just like left my body and was looking at my body. Some student told like that one time at Northwestern, because we asked them, what did they experience when they chant japa? And one student said, I could see my soul leave the body and looking at my body. He said, keep chanting. It'll improve. And the same story, Srila Prabhupada, we tell many times this story, because I like this story. Also, when the girl was dancing in front of Srila Prabhupada in 26th Second Avenue, there was a kirtan going on. And she said, Srila Prabhupada, when I chant Hare Krishna, I see red lights. And Prabhupada said, don't worry, keep chanting, it will go away. It will go away. So like this, we're speculating, but that speculation also is because we were experiencing something nice in chanting Hare Krishna. It was a very wonderful thing. And our association with devotees, we probably thought everyone was a pure devotee when we came. I remember going to Detroit Temple and for the Bhagavatam class, and the speaker, you know, was Amiya Vilas. Taste the dynamic aspect of the presence of the Lord. So it says here, the proof that one has attained the transcendence beyond all transcendence, Krishna, is that he is completely satisfied with the presence of the Lord. But that presence is not static, it's dynamic. He's experiencing newer and newer taste. And that relationship with the Lord, in that presence of the Lord, and therefore he does not become attracted to matter. So how is it that he experiences that newer and newer taste? That is the question. That is why the prachetas are going on praying for another benediction. We have attained your presence, so there's nothing more to attain. That's what they're praying. Previous verse also, this verse also, they're saying that we've already attained your presence, therefore there is nothing more to obtain. So why are they continuing to offer prayer and praying for another benediction? Because although we've attained your presence, we need to be able to have access to the dynamic aspect of that presence. Otherwise, again, the material energy becomes attractive. We may have attained your presence, but unless we have access to newer and newer tastes in your association, then again, we experience an undynamic situation like impersonal Brahman, and we can become, again, victimized by material attraction. That's that's going to be explained coming up. So we want a benediction by which we will have access to that newer and newer taste. So what is that benediction they'll pray for? That benediction they'll pray for is Sadhu Sangha. Because in that Sangha, I'll be able to have access to that aspect, that dynamic aspect of your association, by which I'll be able to unlimitedly, as mentioned, he's called Ananta because he has unlimited opulences. But I don't have any information or access to that unlimited opulences. I don't have the key to that. So therefore, the prachetas will continue praying for the association of sadhus, because in that association, I'll be able to have access to that aspect, and there will be no question of returning to the material energy. So this is the most important thing. This is a very nice verse in 9th canto of Bhagavatam. Durvasa Muni had to go to Lord Narayana because of making offense to Ambarish Maharaj. First, he went to Lord Brahma. You know, Sudarshan Chakra was chasing him. So, you know, it was a very emergency situation, like going to the bathroom at the last minute, very emergency situation. So he went to Lord Brahma. Brahma said, Sudarshan Chakra, nothing I can do. He went to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said, Sudarshan Chakra, nothing I can do. You know, you're finished. He went to Lord Narayana, and Lord Narayana said, nothing I can do also. And Lord Narayana began speaking many, many verses to Durvasa Muni, glorifying his devotees. So he mentioned here, I did not mention everything, but all the verses, they're very nice. But one verse in relationship to what's being discussed about the Lord's unlimited opulences and why he's called Ananta. So it's mentioned here, Naham atmanam ashase ma bhaktai sudubhir vina shriyam chatyantikim brahman yesham gatiraham para. So this is a very nice verse that Narayana says that without the association of saintly persons, they said, ma bhaktai sudubhir vina, without the association of saintly persons, my devotees, then I have absolutely no desire to enjoy my unlimited opulences. I may have so many opulences, but I have no desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences without the association of my devotees. So Prabhupada makes a very interesting purport. I just read some of that in the class. This is a very amazing purport also. He is unlimited. Krishna's unlimited because he has unlimited opulences, but he doesn't care for any of those opulences also without the association of his devotees. So therefore, the prachetas are praying for that thing. They're praying for the association of devotees because they know all these purports. They know all the Srila Prabhupada's purports. So here, Prabhupada says, maybe I not read the whole thing, but it's very nice. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient, but to enjoy His transcendental bliss, He requires the cooperation of His devotees. In Vrindavan, for example, although Lord Krishna is full in Himself, He wants the cooperation of His devotees, like the cowherd boys and the gopis, to increase His transcendental bliss. Such pure devotees who can increase the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly most dear to Him. Not only does the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoy the company of His devotees, but because He is unlimited, He wants to increase His devotees unlimitedly. Thus, He descends to the material world to induce the non-devotees and rebellious living entities to return home back to Godhead. He requests them to surrender unto Him. Unlimited as He is, He wants to increase His devotees unlimitedly. The Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord more and more. And he goes, the main part I told, that's very nice. So, how to experience ever freshness in our Krishna consciousness? It has something to do with the quality of how we associate with devotees. That is how we can experience ever freshness in Krishna consciousness. So if we're not getting that freshness, then we have to reevaluate how we are associating with devotees. We should understand that this association with devotees is most essential, both in the stage of practice and also in the stage of perfection. Krishna bhakti janma mula hai saru sangha. Krishna prema janme teno punamukya anga. Mahaprabhu is told that the root cause of devotion to Krishna is sadhu sangha. And even when one attains perfection, prema, Krishna janme prema, when prema manifests itself, that sadhu sangha becomes most essential. Even in our highest aspiration, a devotee's highest aspiration, especially in Mahaprabhu's movement, is to attain Vrindavan. Prabhupada is mentioning that here in the purport which I just read. That is the highest aspiration of a devotee, to attain Vrindavan. But even in Vrindavan, the primary way by which they relish their relationship with Krishna is through sadhu sangha. And Krishna likes that also. Therefore, He performs a pastime of becoming invisible even in Vrindavan. It is said that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Of course, in the Bhoma-lilas, he does. But it is mentioned in Brihadbhagavatamrita also that even in the spiritual world, He pretends to perform a pastime of leaving Vrindavan to go to Mathura and perform pastimes there repeatedly. Srila Rupa Maharaj actually discussed this in one of the classes about a month ago. He does his pastime of leaving. Why? Because he wants to see the devotees suffer the pangs of separation from him. He likes that. Anyway, I'm not going into all the esoterics of that. I'm making another point. And as a result of suffering pangs of separation from him, they absolutely require one another to pacify their separation from Krishna in order to continue to exist in the spiritual world blissfully. Then they require one another in order to relish the relationship with Krishna. Krishna likes to see that. So he disappears from the scene of Ras Lila. He disappears from Vrindavan. No one can see him. And what do they do when they're separated from Krishna? They come together and they hear and chant about Krishna together. And that way they are pacified from the pains they're experiencing in their separation from Krishna. So, of course, this is the perfected platform, but this is true also in the conditioned state, because we are also separated from Krishna. Anyone notice? And we're also suffering pangs due to separation from Krishna. Threefold miseries. Repeated birth and death. Are we not experiencing on a daily basis? The mind. I can see many devotees getting in the mind in the morning program, you know. I'm not going to call anyone names, anything. Myself also, sometimes. I see, you can see how one is just trapped in his mind. The kirtan is going on and just looking like this. In nice kirtan, all the devotees will be clapping and joyfully, and everyone's just like, looking totally depressed, you know. If I see, I also get depressed. I'm like, oh, don't look. I become depressed. So we are also suffering pangs of separation from Krishna, not vipralamba bhav. You know, due to our nonsense of having turned our backs on Krishna, we've entered into the material atmosphere, And we're experiencing again and again and again repeated birth and death and threefold miseries. We're suffering tremendously. But it's described, I don't know if I should mention this because Narada Muni felt a little bit hesitant to mention this himself about the nature of the spiritual world, that when the devotees in the spiritual reality experience separation from Krishna, they experience that separation more intensely than the devastation of the whole material universe. Don't try to understand. you can't even understand. If we don't get our pizza, that is like really hellish, you know? We're like, oh my God, you didn't save me a pizza? How selfish can you be, you know? And we're like flipping out. The devotees in the spiritual world, when they're separated from Krishna, they experience that more intensely than the devastation of the whole material cosmos. We can't even imagine what that means. You know, Narada Muni didn't even want to say, because he said, if I say this, you might not be attracted to Krishna Prema. He told Gopal Kumar like that. I'm a little bit uncomfortable to tell you, you know, what is the real situation. But I can't help myself. My tongue has already started speaking about it, so I'm just going to go for it. That was the situation. Brihabhavasamrita describes all these things. So imagine the intensity of suffering that devotees are experiencing in their relationship with Krishna. Okay, we do say it's a blissful feature in there because we get really concerned hearing that. So we have to like make sure that everyone doesn't get scared and say, no, but even that separation is blissful and so on. But we should try to understand that they're experiencing great misery and separation. And how is that misery pacified? Only in the association of devotees. They have to hear and chant. And Krishna likes that. So again and again and again and again and again, he's disappearing from the scene. He never leaves Vrindavan, but he goes into some cave, hide out. He has his eyes everywhere, so he can still see what's going on. He disappears from the scene, and devotees are in separation. They must take shelter of one another in order to survive. Otherwise, they cannot live. Of course, they're eternal. They're not going to die also. But the devotional sentiment is like that. So that is the perfected platform. Same thing we're experiencing on the conditioned platform. Separation from Krishna, and we're suffering like anything. Every single one of us are suffering like anything. You know, anyway, some of us get to hear a lot of the very varieties of sufferings, and they're very draining also. You just want to lay down and sleep. And then, in my room, there's a constant flow of knocking. So, knock, 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 go away, go away. I'm suffering too much. So we're suffering, practically speaking. So how, and as a result of suffering, separation from Krishna, we're not getting any happiness in Krishna consciousness. So what is the hope? Only one hope. That one boon, therefore the Prachetas is going to pray for that one boon. Only one hope out of this situation. There's a necessity to take shelter of Sadhu Sangha. And what do you do in that Sadhu Sangha? You hear and chant about Krishna. That's the primary thing that must go on. We can go on discussing, you know, the quagmire of our unlimited anarthas ad infinitum, and nothing will ever come out of it but more frustration. Of course, it doesn't mean we don't reveal certain difficulties we may be having for the benefit of, maybe systematically removing certain obstacles for progress. But the main method for removing the obstacles of progress just happens to be chanting and hearing congregationally, and taking that very seriously. The best defense, they say, is a good offense, right? We heard this thing in the material world. That the best defense is a good offense, right? I'm not saying it right, but anyway, offense, anyway. That's what is mentioned. So many times we take this defensive position when dealing with our bad situation in the material world. What is that? We try to deal with it directly. This is called taking the defense position. You're being attacked and you're just trying to defend yourself. It's like a bully, same example I gave the other day. Bully is just pounding you and you're just going like this. You're blocking. You're not taking any offensive. Then how long you can do like that before you become worn down and then the bully you feel so weak and he just smashes you. How long you can do? You have to take the offense. Of course, the bully is much bigger than you. Anyway, try to get the essence of my mundane example. I'm sorry. It is the first thing that came to mind. But it is based on a particular vibration I heard from Prabhupada's purport. So you're being pounded by the material energy. Mind is overwhelming. Senses are overwhelming. And you take a defensive position by just simply talking about that on and on and on and on and on ad infinitum. It will not cause, it will not cure this problem. The best defense is a good offense. So what is that offense? Shravanam Kirtanam. This is the offensive approach. Take the offensive approach towards dealing with the dilemma of our conditioned state. And by doing so, one will experience a pacification of heart and make further progress towards Krishna. And then when one attains Krishna, the same business will be going on. The same business will be going on. So that is described here. Even though Krishna has unlimited opulences, he himself does not desire to enjoy those opulences without his devotees. Therefore, he takes a position of a devotee also to understand that. That is what Gaur Lila is all about. And in Gaur Lila, he is also relishing Krishna consciousness. But he requires the association of Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy, when he's going through difficulties and his relationship with Krishna. Then what does Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar do? They start singing Bhagavatam to him. And then he feels uplifted more and more and more. When Patapa Rudra, when in the association of Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Matacharya made strategy. Because he was so impressed with Maharaj Patapa Rudra's determination. Maharaj Patapa Rudra was ready to give up everything to attain Lord Chaitanya's association, his kingdom, everything. Being so impressed, Sarvabhauma Matacharya said, we need to come up with a strategy. And what was the strategy that he gave to Maharaj Patapa Rudra? First of all, look a little bit normal. Yeah, first things first. You know, look normal, okay? This, you're just really, that's got to stop, you know, that's got to stop. That was first thing. Dress humble Vaishnav, and you go to Mahaprabhu when he's in separation from Krishna after Jagannath Rath Yatra, he will need so much of assistance. So what do you do to assist him? When Maharaj Pratapa Rudra was advised, he started massaging Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and began singing Srimad Bhagavatam to him. And particularly, one verse he sang, I don't remember the verse, Tavakatam Nitam Tapta Jivanam Kavibir Iditam Kalpashapaham Shavanam Mangalam Srimanatatam Bhuvigirnantiye Buridajana. I didn't remember the verse. I didn't plan to say that verse. I haven't chanted the verse in a long time. Tavakatam Nitam Tapta Jivanam. Tapta Jivanam means the jiva is suffering tremendously in this material world. We all have got practical experience. No need to discuss it on and on and on. So what is the medicine for that suffering? Tava Kata Mritam, the nectar of Hari Kata, the nectar of Krishna Kata, that is the only remedy for the heart that's being tormented in this material world. Then, Kavibir Iditam, Kalpa Shapaham, those vibrations are given by the pure devotees of the Lord, Kavibir. Kavibir means devotees who are interested only in Krishna. Then they are constantly vibrating in this way, Machitta Magata Prana. Their thoughts are always given to Krishna. Their life is given to Krishna. They're always speaking about Krishna. What is that? Kata Yantash Mam Nityam. Kavibir. This is called Kavibir. Kalpashapaham. All sinful, nasty things in the heart are dissipated as we're drowning ourselves in that Hari Kata, in that association. Then, what? Shravana Mangalam. This is most auspicious thing to be hearing. Not going on and on about hearing our problems. That's not mangalam, auspicious. That's inauspicious, very inauspicious. Most inauspicious. Prabhu, I have these problems. Oh, inauspicious, don't want to hear. Shravana mangalam, what is auspicious thing to hear? This thing we should hear constantly, Harikata. Then, Srimaratatam means those who are most merciful. Srimaratatam, they're spreading this mission. Is that what that means? Srimanatata. I don't remember the translation. Bhuvigrinantiye Buddhida Janam. Those who are spreading this mission, Buddhida, the mission of giving everyone an opportunity to hear about Krishna. The International Society of Krishna Consciousness was created to give everyone an opportunity to hear about Krishna. Prabhupada says repeatedly. That doesn't just mean people outside, that means the people inside also. The movement was created to give us an opportunity to hear. Hear what? Hear about Krishna. Tavakatamritam. Then those persons who shall do that, Buddha, you are that person is the most magnanimous person. So, Patapa Rudra Maharaj was singing this verse.
Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kaviberiditam kalpashapaham shravanamangalam shrimarattatam buvigranantiye buridajana.
He was singing his verse like that, very not like me. Sweetly he was singing. Sweetly he was singing, and Mahaprabhu came out of his ecstatic trance and he jumped up and said, Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. And you receive sees like, Buddha, Buddha, you are most magnanimous, most magnanimous. You are my real friend. Why you are my real friend? Because you reminded me of Krishna. That is a friend. Not on and on reminding me of the material energy, including my, you know, unlimited anartas. That is not friendship. You know, and then trying to give so much of, you know, how you say, consultation, psych. Like psych ward? Oh, what do you call this special chair? Psychiatry? Yeah. The therapy couch. Huh? The shrink, yeah. But we're the Christian country shrinks. You know, come, Prabhu, sit down. Where's my clock? Can I hypnotize you? You know, all these things going on. That is not friendship. Friendship means forcing one another to stay committed to hearing about Krishna. No matter what, this is a friendship. Again, I'll put the disclaimer, you know, so I don't disturb the sensitivities of certain devotees, that we're not saying that if certain issues are going on, they shouldn't be discussed, you know, and on and so on. But do it in a very succinct sort of way and focus on the solution. Arjuna presented his problems to Krishna, you know, and, you know, a few shlokas, and then Bas, he heard the rest of the time from Krishna, and he absorbed himself in hearing Krishna's instructions and trying to understand them. He didn't go on and on and on and on and on and on and on about, you know, the material energy, including his anartha. So this is what it means to be friends. We are to be friends of one another. We're all suffering from separation of Krishna. That is true both in the conditioned state and the liberated state. And there is only one solution for pacifying the heart, drowning in the nectar of Hari Katha. That is the only solution. Therefore, the Brachetta is going to pray for association devotees. Hey, how long you will sit there? Allow us to look at you, Vishnu. Soon you will disappear. Then what will we do? Because Vishnu, you know, it's not like he's just going to be there. You know, maybe he leaves a deity form. You know, he might be. How long he will stay? He will disappear. Then what will I do? Association devotees. So devotees pray for association of devotees and all over the Bhagavatam. We cannot go through all the verses. It would be nice to do that. Because that pleases Krishna. Krishna will understand that we're serious about our relationship with him when we are praying for Sadhu Sangha and praying to hear and chant in Sadhu Sangha and not just to take shelter to discuss unlimited issues. When we're praying to Krishna, what prayer to offer to Krishna? We offer this prayer. Prabhupada's going to say that coming up. This prayer we offer to Krishna. Let me please somehow or other, not due to my offensive mentality, leave the association of devotees. My dear Krishna, please let me not, due to my ingratitude, and leave the association of devotees. My dear Krishna, please do not allow me to leave the association of devotees due to my making the choice to invest consciousness in my unlimited issues and not in the real thing that I'm supposed to be doing as a sort of sense gratification of self-pity. My dear Krishna, please not let me not do that. Please let me take the association of devotees that you have provided for me very seriously. Now I'll be thinking, oh, where are the pure devotees? I don't see any. I hear this thing all the time, even in our congregation. I don't see, where are the pure devotees? I'm not, there are no pure devotees available. So Krishna, what to do? You have left me bankrupt. You have left me bankrupt. And Krishna is like, what a rascal. You know, I'm about to give you a dog body for your nonsense. It is nonsense. I provided so much of facility for you. Prasadam every day. Bhagavatam every day. Shelter every day. You'll have to struggle. And you were asking, where are the devotees? Where are the devotees? Where are the devotees? You know, dog body is too. God can give you a worm and stew body. It is nonsense consciousness. It is nonsense consciousness. We pray to the Lord like that. We are, my dear Krishna, please give me Krishna Prema. Well, what will you do when you have Krishna Prema without association of devotees? You commit suicide. You commit suicide. Without the association of devotees, you pray like that, you will not be able to take it. You pray, my dear Krishna, let me have the association of devotees. That way, through that association, I can also get the goal of life, and I'll be able to hold it. The gift is one thing. Being able to hold the gift is another thing. If you get a gift that's too heavy for you, suppose someone gives you a gift and the box is too heavy to hold, you cannot use it, you cannot do anything with it. So you may want the gift of the goal of life, but how you will hold that gift in your heart. So the preachers pray, we need Sadhu Sangha, we need extra hands to hold that gift. That prayer we can offer, and in that way, we follow in the footsteps of the Prachetas, and we experience Krishna's Ananda Bhuti Vardhanam feature, newer, newer taste in Krishna consciousness, and there will be no question of going back to the material energy. No question. So, sorry for ranting on, but, I have that nature as such, so you have to tolerate that, unfortunately, for you. I'm sorry for that. Is there anything anyone wants to say? Oh, a lot of the hands just went up simultaneously. All right, we'll go like this. 1, 2, 3, yeah. Ashraya Prabhu wants to.
Hare Krishna. A very nice topic, thank you. Echoing what Ananda Chaitanya Prabhu was also expressing. I was thinking about something very specific when you started talking. One thing that I heard from Vaisheshika Prabhu is for devotees who go out for boat distribution, he said practically the life of the Sankirtan is discussing amongst each other what your experiences are with the book distribution. He's saying that, so it's a significant point. And another thing is, because some devotees do have this doubt, which you are addressing, about who am I supposed to hear from, because there's no pure devotees, so how do we have whatever, some kind of sentiment like that, like who is a good association for me or something like that. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has given us his books. You sit down and you read. Any person who comes off the street can read from Prabhupada's books and you can relish the nectar of that association.
Yeah, so I would disagree with that to a slight degree.
Yeah.
Because we have experience on a personal level that even when reading Srila Prabhupada's books, we have practically zero comprehension of many of the topics that were going on outside the speculative conclusions. So therefore, in order to crystallize what it was we were reading from Srila Prabhupada's books, we actually required so much of Sangha, of senior devotees, of other devotees, and so on. So I would disagree that even if we shall invite people to have Srila Prabhupada's books, without the association of devotees who are living, they probably have no access. Of course, there are stories of devotees, just people getting Srila Prabhupada's books and beginning some type of practice. But in order to get their practice to a more mature platform, they also needed the association of devotees. And it had been seen that Krishna mercifully provided that for them also. So I disagree to a slight degree. I accept to some degree, but I don't think that is a full understanding. Because the natural process is you need living sources in order to progress in Krishna consciousness. That's a fact. That's a fact.
Maybe you're responding to somebody's speculation on that topic. My point was that even a person off the street, you can relish reading with what to speak of other devotees. So there should be no doubt that we can sit down with one another. As Vaisheshika Prabhu says, or my spiritual master appreciates that he says, pass the book around, this expression that he uses. You just can read together and it's a relishable experience. Not
yeah.
that... It's not
that's
necessary
okay.
to have the association.
Yeah, that's okay. But still, for maturity to develop, if a bunch of neophytes get together and pass around Srila Prabhupada's books, they're not going to make advancement. They need the association of more advanced devotees to do so. That's a fact. They won't advance. If I came in the beginning, and we're all a bunch of, numbnuts, and we pass around Srila Prabhupada's, just pass the book, pass the book, pass the book. What is going to happen? We probably become more and more envious of devotees who are preaching. Why are they preaching like they're pure devotees? They should tell people to go to Srila Prabhupada. Why are they telling people to go to Srila Prabhupada? They should just pass the book. Therefore, I'm making a little contention with that point because I feel that that can lead towards major misconception in terms of the necessity of living sources for spiritual development. That's my contention. Sorry. Himanshu, you wanted to ask something?
Thank you very much for your class. I was thinking about the story of that the fisherman in Gauralila who was touched by Mahaprabhu, and even though he got prema because he didn't have association, he thought he had a disease or something. So that was kind of like...
Yeah, we heard this story the other day from Srila Prabhupada. He touched Mahaprabhu, he thought he was ghostly hunted, Prabhupada said. Yeah. So then he was thinking, what about my family? If I'm ghostly hunted like this, how I take care of my wife, my kids? Yeah.
Because I was thinking...
So then he needed the association of Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodara Goswami. He said, you're not ghostly hunted. Huh? You actually have Krishna prema. Oh. That's an interesting example, actually. Okay. Matt, I had a question.
My question was, can you explain a little bit about the nature of the extent of like the realizations we're having and also our Sangha is having to get the most out of Sadhu Sangha? Because, you know, there's varieties of Sadhu Sangha, and, you know, some association may be more inspiring than others, and I'm wondering why that is. And, you know, how can we get the most out of all of our association?
Well, fundamentally, respect. That's what we learn in this center, that fundamentally we require respect in order to get the maximum benefit from any type of Sangha. And this is also the advice of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur in relationship to the pastime where Bhrigu Muni, who kicked Lord Narayana in the chest. So he tells his pastime in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And then he tells how people might make offense to Bhrigu Muni, thinking Bhrigu Muni was a operati, offended the Lord by kicking him in his chest. But actually that pastime was all arranged just so that the Lord would become glorified, the devotee would become glorified. So then, after that, describing that story, Vrindavan Das Thakur offers a set of verses warning us that if we are devoid of mercy of Krishna, then we'll not be able to recognize who is actual devotee. And we'll be caught in a dilemma. Is he a devotee or is he not a devotee? Is he a pure devotee? Is he not a pure devotee? Should I hear from him? Should I not hear from him? We'll give it sankat. This is called a sankat, a dilemma, an intricate situation. And Vrindavan Das Thakur said, if you make the wrong selection, you'll be destroyed. And you select properly, you'll be delivered. So you can understand, this is like a very heavy situation. I'll be thinking, wondering if he's pure, not pure, should I have this? And if I select wrongly and make offense, because I'm not able to see his transcendental position, that is generally the nature of transcendence, then we'll be destroyed. And if we choose properly, we'll be delivered. So what is the solution? He said, the solution is you should be humble with everyone. This is my advice to all bhaktas. You please learn how to become humble with everyone and respect them. And that way we can derive the most benefit out of all association that we get. Now what that means to give proper respect and so on, you need seminars for that, it seems. Because we're like Kali Yuga, we're so uncultured, we don't know what it means to give respect. But that might be a whole nother topic, but that's fundamentally. And then there's no fault with being attracted to a certain type of sangha that one finds spiritually uplifting. If it's truly spiritually uplifting, there's no fault in that. Sajatiya Ashaye, that is also the recommendation in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, like-minded association, which has its general application, but also a specific application as well. Book distributors will thrive more in the association of other book distributors. And there's nothing wrong with that. Kirtaniyas may thrive more in the association of other kirtaniyas who have a taste for that particular anga bhakti. Persons who are like really into bhavatam might thrive more in that type of association. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there will be respect amongst everyone in the community of devotees. So that is fundamentally required. I'll let Matt say what he wants to say because he had his hand up, and then we'll call it quits.
Hare Krishna. I've been noticing with the association of devotees that it's kind of hard to be in the association of devotees because that everybody kind of has their own spin on what they think Krishna consciousness is. And not being pure devotees, they kind of, imitate Prabhupada, as in everybody wants to be.
I would stop you right there. First of all, do you have the ability to see pure devotion? Do you have that power? Or then we can ask that. I'm asking that question to the whole audience because this kind of seems to be coming up a little bit in my discussion. Do we actually have the power to see pure devotion? let's ask ourselves that question honestly before we go on saying that there are no pure devotees, there are no pure devotees, you know, and waving that particular, you know, flag, which is kind of an offensive flag. Do we have the power to see pure devotion to Krishna? If Srila Prabhupada did not start a worldwide movement with so many temples and, you know, writing so many books, if he didn't do all those externally, those things we can see with our eyes, would we be able to recognize Srila Prabhupada as a pure devotee without all these things that he did? Would we be able to recognize Prabhupada's pure devotion to Krishna if he didn't? On what basis do people accept Srila Prabhupada as a pure devotee? Is it on the basis that he started a worldwide movement, he opened so many temples, he gave so many deities, so many books? That's usually the platform by which they accept his pure devotion. Do they accept his pure devotion on the fact that he has pure devotion to Krishna, which cannot be seen? Pure devotion cannot be seen. Krishna says, Apicha sudara charo, bhajate mama nanya bhak, sadureva samantavya samyavya vasito hisa. He makes the point that my devotee may do something very abominable, but if he is ananya bhak, he should be accepted as a sadhu. We have power to see sudarachar, the abominable activity. Do we have power to see ananya bhak? Our external senses do not have the capacity to see pure devotion to Krishna because it is on the adokshaja plane, the plane of transcendence. Therefore, for us to conclude that someone is trying to imitate Prabhupada, they're trying to imitate their pure devotee and all these things, you know, their neophytes and all these things, that may or may not be true. But because we don't have the power to perceive it, then we are on the safer side if we take the humble position. That we've already discussed, we just explained. Bhrigu Muni kicked the Lord in his chest. If we would have saw that with our eyes, how many of us would accept Bhrigu Muni as a pure devotee of Krishna? If we see Bhrigu Muni kicked very hard, it wasn't very soft, and Lord Narayan said, is your foot okay? Is your foot okay? I think you might have hurt your foot. He kicked him very hard on his chest. How many of us would be convinced that he was a pure devotee of Krishna after doing that activity? We would not be convinced. So therefore, Vrindavan Das Thakur has warned us to take a humble position due to our being captured by the material energy and our inability to actually perceive transcendence. In that way, if we develop that simple attitude, we may be able to actually gain Krishna's mercy in the form of deriving benefit from whatever sangha is coming our way. And then when pure devotional sangha comes our way, we'll derive benefit from that also. We will not be able to see it's a pure devotee, but we'll benefit from that because we have a simple attitude and a humble attitude. Therefore, when Krishna will be so kind to send us such association, we will gain full benefit from that association. But if we're always developing the mentality now in our fledgling state of Krishna consciousness, our state of, you know, falling all over the place, bungling bhakta, if we develop the mentality now, there are no pure devotees, they're imitating Prabhupada, this very offensive mentality, then when a pure devotee does come our direction, we'll make offense to him also. So we have to, in the beginning, fix our attitude issues. The reason we say such statements is because we have an attitude problem. And we should, first of all, humbly admit that I have an attitude problem, I have beef with Krishna, and therefore it's manifesting itself all over the place with other living entities. That is the initial stage of Krishna conscious development. You shouldn't sit with your foot out pointing towards the devotees. This is the first stage of Krishna conscious development, to admit that the reason I'm not liking Krishna consciousness is because I'm an aparadhi. Not one or two times, thousands and thousands of times. So I just got heavy, you know, maybe it wasn't proper for the, but because I felt that the drift was kind of going in that arena, and that's an arena where I pull out the bazookas and, you know, and start blasting. And I, because, you know, the reason is because I've made many offenses like this.